WGS 204. I always say it's not a Friday till Sue Thomas dances.
He will, and it's still not gonna be one.
Just breaking. Breaking like Ray Gun.
Not a dancer?
Not a dancer.
No? Even back in the day?
Oh, no.
Did you make yourself?
There was no way. Here's the thing. I missed cotillion. You know, they had a thing where you could go and learn that, and I somehow talked my way out of it. But then I regretted it later because I would have known how to do the stuff properly.
Yeah. All I know is in ninth grade, I guess someone complained about square dancing, how dated and stupid it was. So we did disco dancing.
You did not.
Yeah, for a whole semester. And then our final exam, this sounds like something I'm making up, and it's not. The Wood River Bowling Alley had a disco club called like the Brass Monkey or something like that. And we all had to dress up and go there and disco dance. And Mr. Rach and Mrs. Tisco, the PE teachers, walked around with a clipboard, watched you dance, and gave you a letter grade.
Oh, wow. My. What was your outfit? Did you have a white suit?
No, I had a silk shirt.
That's nice.
Tucked into some sort of cream-colored tie-dyed pants. Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like you would have excelled at that, Andrew.
Why did schools make kids do that stuff?
Yeah.
We did that too. We had to do the square dancing. It was the worst.
Yeah.
Why'd you make us do that?
I mean, it's right when puberty's hitting and you've got crushes and cooties and you're do-si-doing and, yeah.
Well, also, in our case anyway, too, you didn't get to choose who your partner was.
Oh, no.
You get randomly assigned.
Right.
And you're like, ah, come on.
And then even if it was the
plus
girl,
it was
the
square
girl you
dancing.
Liked, you had to complain like, yuck!
Yeah. Yeah.
One time in sixth grade, I'll never forget this. So people were starting to kiss. Like, there were couples, and at South Rock Santa, they'd go behind the incinerator and kiss. You know, very romantic. I think most of them are married and still doing it. And one time, and of course, I was in love with Nancy Noel.
Of course.
And she and a bunch of girls put on white lipstick, and they were chasing boys down and kissing them. And then they came after me, and I was really fast, and I outran them. And they finally just gave up because no one could catch me. I was like a little water bug. Well, I mean, I felt so stupid.
Do I show how fast I am or do I let them catch me?
Yeah, that's exactly it. At the end of it, I'm like, you fool.
You should have thrown the race.
Yes.
You would have won.
But I thought, like, if they know how fast I am, they'll want to kiss me. I'm like, oh, that's right. They're trying to kiss me, and I am not letting them.
I'm rejecting them. Oh, man.
White lipstick.
Wow. Yeah.
What grade was that?
Sixth.
Okay. Mm.
Isn't it funny how you remember those things so vividly?
Yeah. Oh, we had a couple of the girls like that, but it was kindergarten that would run on. We would run screaming from them trying to get away.
White lipstick sounds kind of scary.
Yeah, that's an odd thing.
That is intimidating.
Not sure one where one acquires such a thing. Maybe it was studio makeup, from the art department. Like, drama.
Like mimes or something like that. Yeah.
It just makes me think of whiteout, which, do people still use that? Probably
I don't think
not.
So.
But that was, you know, used to be a huge thing.
You know who invented that? One of the monkeys moms.
Yeah.
Really?
Michael Nesbitt. Was it Nesbitt? Yeah.
Very interesting.
Mm-hmm. We have all sorts of
fascinating things.
Facts
we know
show.
Things.
Facts on the show today.
Is that how we got on the monkeys? I don't... Is that a part of it?
That's how he got money. She was a millionaire.
Wow.
Yeah, invented whiteout.
Yeah. Huh.
I remember using that. I remember cheating my ass off in typing class. Just, you know, like...
As if they wouldn't know.
Right, right.
Yeah. I mean, whiteout was so obvious.
No, you'd have, like, tests. Like, okay, get ready. And I'd be like, click, click, click. And they're like, look, I'll come and find you. Whoever's doing that. Clickety, click, click, click. At one point, I want to say I hit 60 words per minute. I was not too bad.
That's pretty good. Yeah,
because we had a Christmas tree, and your bulb would move up the Christmas tree as you got better.
Oh.
Isn't it weird that you can still do it?
Yes.
That is so odd to me, how the brain works with the muscle memory and such.
It's true. It's like riding a bike, the typing.
It's like they knew something
Some
was
of us
coming,
can't
too.
Ride a bike, Sue.
Oh,
we didn't
sorry,
have computers
Andrew.
Back then.
I also can't type, so that tracks.
All right, then.
And do like 8 words a minute.
Do you never took any sort of typing class?
I guess I did, but they, like, I remember being in like 5th grade and taking typing class at the bottom in the basement of the church school where the computers were. And they had Oregon Trail on them, so it's like, you know, I mean, come on. What was a boy to
You're
do?
You're not going
to
be focusing on your Mavis Beacon
lessons. I'm not taking... The Mavis Beacon games were fine, but they couldn't hold a candle to Oregon Trail.
Mm-hmm. At a really bad moment in typing class, probably ninth grade, and my complexion was really bad, really, really bad. And this is the same time when I was having my mom curl my bangs, right? And so I would take one of my mom's makeup, what do you call them? Like the little...
Compact.
Mm-hmm. And I would just cake it with makeup. And then on recesses or breaks in between classes, I would go into the bathroom stall and put some on so it wouldn't look so bad.
Oh, Dave.
And we were in typing class, and I reached in my pocket for a frog or bubble gum or something. And when I pulled it out, it came out, and it just went up in the air, turning circles, and landed on my typewriter with a big poof of makeup. And everyone saw it.
I'm so sorry.
Isn't that awful?
Yes.
Isn't it amazing I got through that? I mean, like, for real, that was just so terrible.
You have the weirdest childhood.
Oh.
Truly.
We're a resilient species, though.
We are.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Andrew, fifth grade seems young for me for typing. I had it in high school, too. Mm-hmm. When did you take it?
We did it in high school. I can't remember if we did it on computers or typewriters, though. We were right on that edge in the late 80s.
Yeah, we were electric typewriters.
Right
there
with you.
Might have been word processors.
Wow. No whiteout then.
No.
Huh.
No. I don't remember anything about it, though. I just remember we did it.
I remember in college having zero idea what I wanted to do freshman year, and someone was in three letters which had something to do with computers, like MIT, MTI, ITM, something like that. And so I went to a class, and I walked in. It was just a whole bunch of kids sitting at computers and typing, and I'm like, well, I'm not going to do that. Just walk back out.
Never mind.
Phoebe heads back to KU on Saturday.
Oh, wow.
God, I was a terrible college student. It took me 5 years to get through, which a lot of kids do now, not many did back in the early 80s. But it did me, because I would sign up for classes and then drop them. And it was just a constant, like, watching the calendar. And a couple of times was too late and I couldn't drop it. And
Lou Thomas said, you have 4 years and that's it.
Yeah.
So that's what we took.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Lou knew what he was doing.
Yeah, he did.
Rachel has a new nickname, so you know.
Oh, yes. What is it? It's so often that she gets one.
It's Razor.
Razor?
They started calling me Razor.
Why?
Dave, do you want to explain?
You can take my explanation. And
so when I apparently this has been cooking for like 8 years, because when I first started on the show, Dave was trying to think of a nickname for me, and he was thinking Ray and then Z, and then it kind of turned into Razor, and he didn't call me that until the other day, and now
she liked it.
Yeah.
Everyone is calling me Razor now.
Okay. Well, ever since the Ron G incident.
My mom called me Razor the other day.
Okay.
Via text.
And then, she's doing her own segment now, and a listener yesterday called and said, you should call it Razor's Edge. So
I like that. What's the segment?
It's just like anything, but I was thinking last night, because there is a movie called Razor's Edge with
Bill Murray.
And I started to watch it, and then I was like, what is going on? And I turned it off. I'll watch it at a different time. But I had the thought of like, man, maybe I should be doing hot takes if we're calling it the Razor's Edge. I mean,
I like it.
I don't really have like a super hot take today, but
okay, good start.
I will say I started to watch Children of Men last night. Mm-hmm. Now, that's one of those movies that came out, I think I was in high school, and I saw so much promotion for it, and I knew what the movie was about, so I always felt like, I've seen that, and then I realized like, I haven't seen it. So I started watching it. Such a good movie. Obviously, it's about the fact that all of the world is infertile now, and there's one young lady who's pregnant, and Clive Owen is tasked with protecting her and bringing her through this apocalyptic world.
I never saw this. Okay.
Yeah.
It's a really good movie.
It is good.
And it got me to thinking, like, how little actually seems to be holding society together. Like, if we were to face a hardship like that, where people, like, let's say people just stopped having babies, what would that do to us psychologically? This movie explores it. But there's so many ways things can go south if you really think about it.
Yeah.
And I think we got so lucky with COVID, because I'm not even talking about the virus itself, but just socially what that did to us. it could have went so much worse than it did. Like, I'm impressed that we kept the train on the tracks as well as we did.
But imagine if that were actually, if it were like Ebola that went like that.
Right.
Like, we would have had a breakdown. Like, the whole, I think everything breaks down.
Yeah. And it's truly scary to think about. But it got me to thinking, like, I think about all the time if the power grid goes down, that's my big fear. And I have plans for what I would do in that situation. But I want to know if each of you, do you fantasize about this? Do you have a plan for if stuff hits the fan and things go wrong? I know Wheels does.
Do you really?
I'm not sure I would call it a plan more than a set of ideas, if that makes sense. Like, it's not organized and written down, but I have some vague ideas.
Have you said it out loud to anybody? Number one.
Maybe. I don't know. I'm not a prepper, so I don't have like a million things, but...
Yeah.
But you have some things.
I got an idea. Yeah, I do have some things. Like, we have a basement that I shouldn't say this because then when it breaks down, people are going to know where to go.
Like, oh, yes. Like,
find Wheeler's house. And then we have a big, like, pantry in the basement that's like extra stuff, like when we make a Costco run. So we always have a little bit of extra stuff that would last. I have a knife.
Prepper.
I got a cool knife. I got a solar charger.
Well, that counts.
Yeah. No. Yeah, I think I probably have about four or five portable chargers.
Yeah. So Kurt bought a solar charger a couple weeks ago, and it's so bad. Like, we had a power bank plugged into
forever.
It took like weeks for it to charge. It was so bad.
Yeah. The thing is, it probably takes, at least for mine, I don't know which one you guys have, but it probably takes a full day or 2 days in the sun for it to charge. Like, it takes a long time to charge. It charges fast the other way around.
We're talking
phone charger. Yeah, well, just like anything, it charges a little. Well, I mean, yeah, yes, phone, but yes, it'll charge anything you can adapt it to. And it's got like five different plugs on it that will outgoing, you know, plugs, so you could charge a bunch of different things.
So on a cloudy week, you're out of
luck. Well, it still works in the clouds, but again, it takes forever. I tested it out on baseball stuff, and I would just like, okay, it got really low. I'm going to put it out, you know, in the sun while we're here for 4 hours, and it would barely add anything.
How do we not have a device that charges your phone in 60 seconds? How is that not a thing yet?
That's true. That's a good point. I don't know.
I mean, chargers are faster. I can charge my phone with the, like, actual device that it came with. I can charge it in less than an hour.
Yeah, and the one I'm talking about, when it's charged, it gives out charge to your phone very fast.
Oh, so it's just gathering the energy that takes forever.
But if you plug it into the wall, it charges up very quickly. It's just the solar part takes a long
time. But the scary part is, if things go south, we probably don't have cell phones anymore, right? So that solar charger is probably going to need to go towards something like a generator or something. And it's like, how long is it going to take to charge something like that?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I don't have much of a plan.
Nope. I mean, in that case, I think we're all probably... Well, I mean...
All right, well...
Turning into bandits. I'm going to go straight up.
And that's Razor's Edge.
Yeah, that's Razor's Edge.
Why do you think I got the Camaro?
Just think about the impending doom.
DGS on KMOX. Happy Friday. Gorgeous day out there. Who's mad at Mason Wynn and why?
All right, so... the weird thing, but so Derek Gould wrote a story talking to Mason Wynn about how lately he's been trying to swing for some more power. He was frustrated with how things were going. He said he's kind of putting his frustration into the swing, and he's trying to hit the ball harder and, you know, hit some home runs and be more productive out of the leadoff spot. And that led to all the Twitter hitting coaches being like, no, it's going to ruin him.
The Twitter hitting coaches.
If he starts trying to hit home runs, he's going to be ruined. And then, you know, like, my reply to that would have been like, because their point for them is, he's not a big guy. He's a fast guy. He should be a contact hitter. And then my reply to all of that was basically, well, yeah, it really ruined Mookie Betts when he started hitting for power, because as a minor leaguer, he hit 27 home runs in 300 games, and now he hits 35 home runs a year in the major leagues. And he's small. Mookie Betts is 5'8", 5'9", very strong and athletic, but he's not a big guy. Mm-hmm. Jose Altuve is 5'3".
Wow.
He hit. I think it was 30 home runs in 400 games in the minors, and now he hits 30 home runs a year in the major leagues. And I said, boy, it's such a shame that their swings got ruined because they learned to hit for power.
You taught him.
I mean, like, you know, like, what I don't understand is why people think that what their little league coach taught them matters for major leaguers. Like, just put the ball in play. Like, okay, no, the point is to hit it as hard as you can, because the harder you hit it, the more likely it is to be a hit, whether it's a single, double,
remember
triple, or home run.
A couple
run.
Days ago, I introduced everyone to that word, like soloist. It sounds like soloist, but it's soloist, and it suits when someone pretends to know more about a topic than they actually do.
Oh,
do you
yes.
think sports is the number one area where people do that?
I don't know if it's number one. I mean, people are pretty good at that in politics. But it's definitely a big thing in sports. And you hear something that you learned from your 84-year-old high school coach 37 years ago, and you think that still translates to the major leagues, which it doesn't. You know, like, it's a whole different world. And think about it. Like, the idea that a player at Mason Wynn's age, he's 21, 22 years old, you don't think that he should be trying to get better all the time? You think he should be like, nope, this is the player that I am, and I'm going to be this player forever. Like, no, you take what you have and you improve on it. That's what professional athletes do. It doesn't always work. And sometimes guys get carried away, and that's what everybody's afraid of, is he'll get carried away and start striking out, and then he won't be good anymore. Probably not going to go that way, but usually when a player goes to the point where they're not good anymore, they probably weren't going to be that good anyway.
And he's already proven that he can improve, if that makes sense.
Well, yeah, that's the point, right? I mean, like, at that stage, what if you're looking at what Mason Wynn is as a player, very athletic, explosive player, right? He's fast. He can throw the ball 100 miles an hour.
He's not a small guy.
No, he's not little. I mean, he's 5'10", 5'11", so he's not like me. He's not like Altuve, who's 5'3". But this idea that he should be typecast as a guy that doesn't try to hit home runs because, and as a rookie, he's put the ball in play and used his speed, this is the thing about Cardinals fandom that sometimes gets a little old, is the always, everybody's hearkening back to, you know, the 80s. And look, at Whitey Ball, they didn't hit a lot of home runs. Okay, but it's not 1982 anymore, number one. You're not on the fastest turf field in the world. You're on a normal field in a time where power is what helps you score runs more than anything else.
Welcome back, guys. DGS, happy Friday to you. Hancock and Kelly coming in early. I love having a big, full room. My favorite show of all time was out of Florida called The Monsters of the Midday, and there were like 12 people. And I just love the energy, and I love having a big, full room like this. We're playing some disco today, and we're talking about how in ninth grade I had to take disco dancing in school instead of square dancing. Do you seem like you might have discoed a little bit?
Gabriel's, man. Northwest Plaza.
There you, I knew it.
I was there. White suit, white
pants. Did you do the point to the sky thing?
Oh, I got the point. I still point to this day.
You still do the point?
To this day.
I just knew it. I knew you'd be a dancer.
Gabriel's, man.
That's the old mall before it was covered up and stuff, right?
Oh, that was that's where the big stores were, Northwest Plaza. That was
Northwest was a big deal.
Yeah.
I worked for the Kelly Girls there.
Whoa.
The greatest job I've ever had. So the Kelly Girls were stationed in St. Louis, and I was one of two guys that there were like 100 outlets. And so I would just call and be like, hello, Nancy, it's Dave. We didn't get Sally's W-2, and just flirt all day long.
Sounds like a job for Kelly.
Oh, it was fantastic. It was
is
the
this
best.
The temp? Kelly?
Yeah, yeah, the temp agency.
Okay. I see. Okay.
Yeah, the Kelly Girls. Huh. That's what it was literally called.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. But Northwest Plaza, that was the jam. And so I was between college and law school, so I'd have been 22, 23. And the guy that was doing the job, in addition to me, was 30. And he used to go to lunch every day and have like pasta and a glass of wine. And I thought he was James Bond. I asked him one time, I'm like, how can you afford this? He's like, brother, you got to live your life while you can. I'm like, well, yeah, you're 30. You're almost dead. So
I was out up by Northwest Plaza with Hancock on Tuesday night because of the elections.
Yeah.
And we went up to the old Masa's up there. Do you know
what
happened up there?
Yeah.
That little old house.
Yes, sure. It's still there?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Barely. It
How
feels
was
like
it?
It's been there 70, 80 years.
That's cool.
That's fine. We got some pizza, and we took it back to the station with us. Mm-hmm. I love Masa's.
I do, too.
So if John was dancing at Gabriel's, Michael, what was your youthful thing? What were you doing? Like, I was cruising McDonald's with Eric Brokaw. Like, what were you doing when you
were
young?
I grew up in St. Charles, and we would hang out on a place called Island Road, which was out in the middle of a farms. So I grew up North St. Charles, which is the northern part of, no kidding, of St. Charles. But if you continued to go up north, you'd hit the confluence of the rivers.
Okay.
And so we would hang out on this place called Island Road. And if there's any Duchenne in particular people who are listening right now.
They know it.
We all know where it was. And that's where we'd go and there'd be music and beer and trouble and girls.
Did you guys have like pig roasts or anything like that?
No.
That was a big deal.
No.
Yeah.
Pig roasts?
Pig roast. Yeah. Like someone would literally roast a pig in a big open field. And I didn't do any of this stuff because I was such a dork. I didn't know. I was at home. So I just hung out with Jack and Francis. We just watched Love Boat and ate ice milk. And I remember when I was 16, I was 15, going to McDonald's with my mom and dad, and I'm sitting in the back seat having my cheeseburger, and I look over to my right, and there are all the popular boys from my school, because someone had turned 16, in a Camaro, and they're just like, you know, and I just slid down the back seat and asked mom and dad if we could go home because I wasn't feeling well. But that's when I realized, oh my God, there's a world out there I know nothing about.
Right?
Wow. We used to go to Hog Hollow. You know where that is?
No.
Oh, it's out by Chesterfield Airport. There was nothing there. Mm-hmm. The airport lights, and you drive down this street, and you'd park the car, and you'd do whatever you do.
Yeah.
And
disco dance.
It was pretty awesome. Yeah.
Hog Hollow?
Hog Hollow, buddy.
How did it get that name?
Oh, well, that's what it's called. Going back to the.
I don't know where you're going with that.
But it was great. Like it had kind of a UFO vibe to it. It was very cool.
It's better than Hollow Hog. did everyone go parking? I mean, like going out and making out on the back road somewhere like that?
Come on, wheels. What'd
no, it was it was not. But it wasn't like on a back road. It was just in like a little county park.
Tell us about it.
And you don't want to know.
Oh, but I do.
You do not.
Why? Was there violence?
No, they probably just literally didn't talk about baseball. People who were not 18 at the time, and you probably shouldn't be telling your stories like that.
Oh, I see.
Well, but you weren't 18.
No, I know. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
Just a clarifying question here.
Boy, oh boy.
We're all high school kids. I don't know if you're going to be telling those stories.
Okay.
Wow.
Look at you being a gentleman.
I know. I know.
You're 50. There's a statute of limitations.
But you're in Detroit at that time.
Yeah.
So you're hanging out in
Detroit. The big thing there was cruising.
12 Mile, Middle Belt.
Yeah, you didn't want to go near. Well, no, 12 and Middle Belt, you're okay.
Yeah.
That's suburb land.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You just don't want to go too far east.
Exactly.
Get in trouble.
Sue, how about you? What was your high school shenanigans?
I'm me. There weren't that many.
Yeah, you're more like a Dave.
Yeah, there's nothing happening there. I got nothing.
College went a little crazy, though, right?
Well,
had a little fun.
Yeah, it's not something I'm proud of now.
Sure.
I wish I would have
Most of us aren't.
Yes. Well, yeah.
I am.
Yeah. Yeah, I was just, you know, we had a neighborhood back in those days that where all the kids got together and played games and that sort of thing, and I don't know that exists anymore. We would play kickball and all kinds of crazy games that's wacky, but all summer long. And my brother with kids now says, oh, I have to drive them here or drive them there. There's no more neighborhood groups anymore.
That was magical back when I was a kid, because you do it when you're 12. And then when you turn 13, 14, puberty hits, and now takes on a whole new thing. Like you're playing Ghosts in the Graveyard and things like that. I don't know if you guys know this story. These guys do. But Brad Wells, my buddy who's now the police chief in Wood River, his brother Boyd, drove us to Julie Jacoby's birthday party in 7th or 8th grade at Gordon Moore Park out in Alton, now the home of the sinkhole. And at some point, someone said, okay, it's time for hide and seek. And I'm like, oh, brother, here we go. So I find the world's greatest hiding place. Unbeknownst to me, everyone else is making out. Everyone else are kissing girls. And I'm just like popping my little blonde head up and looking around. No one has any idea. So
he's like, I'm winning.
Several hours go by, and finally it's Ollie Ollie Oxen Free. So we get back in Boyd's car, and Brad's like, who'd you make out with? I made out with two different people. I'm like, yes, making out. Oh, the outmaking was severe where I was. I had no clue. I hid for 3 hours in a bush.
like there was a prize.
Yes.
Well, but, I didn't find you.
No, yeah, they did
won.
Not.
Yeah.
Nope.
That's good.
Do you guys remember the dances that they would be put together by, like, the for 7th and 8th grade kids?
Sock hops, we called them.
What'd you call them?
We called them sock hops.
Sock hops. Yeah. With the Catholic kids, I think they called them swaps. You know, different schools would get together. And everybody stands there with their arms apart and does that awkward dance,
Yeah, the nuns are there with yardsticks.
Whack! Too close! There's only like 4 or 5 kids who are at the place where they're like really holding each other because they know what's going on. Right. The rest of us are still like, what?
Right. I saw my first rock band at one of those, and it was life-changing.
Really?
Like, really loud, big speakers, like a really good rock, like local guys playing in a rock band. I'd just never seen live music before.
Wow.
And I'd never seen rock music. I was still into, like, the Beatles, like, early Beatles and Hold My Hand and stuff like that. And, it was absolutely life-changing.
I wish we had had that.
My band did a concert for our high school.
Sweet.
It was awesome. In the gym. And I had programmed the computer to go deep, doop, dee, da, da, whatever it was, you know, and it's because that was my synthesizer, you know. And yeah, and we wrote our own stuff.
You were all kinds of cool.
Well, not really. I was always the last one picked on the kickball team.
Oh.
Never really got over that.
You got long legs.
I kick left footed, and I didn't realize that until I was 15. So.
Yeah. So you're kicking with your wrong leg the whole time?
I'm left-footed. And now, once I figured that out, it was kind of game-changing, you know? But I'm right-handed, but I'm left-footed.
Did you go from a singles hitter to a home run hitter?
Well, we were done. Kickball was done by that point.
Yeah, but at 16, that's a good point. Yeah.
You know, but like third grade, fourth grade, you know, it's like picking at everybody. And I'm standing, I'm tall, you know? And fine, okay, Hancock. I mean, except one day, my buddy David Bailey was the captain, and he picked me first.
Oh,
yeah, and that was a good day.
That's
wow,
awesome.
Oh, yeah, that's nice.
It was nice. We lost, but it was a good day.
But you were friends. You guys had to. You had fun.
Yeah, he was great.
Andrew, how about you?
There was a lot of the driving around, right, the back roads, just killing time, or parking lots are big in the Alton,
yeah,
Wood River
or just like
area.
Going to Walmart and hanging out at Walmart for an hour.
Exactly. Like,
just a small town.
It's just desperate to get away from your parents,
Alton
but there's
Square?
Also
was
nothing
Alton
to
Square
do.
A thing for you?
No, Alton Square was pretty much gone by the time I was
That's
in
too bad.
High school. Like, it's still there, but there's 5 stores in it.
Malls were big for us.
Yeah.
Jamestown Mall.
Big time.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sneaking into Spencer's Gifts.
Jamestown Mall also was kind of on the decline. So I think it closed like right around when I graduated high school.
Yeah. Mike, were you popular?
Maybe. Not really. I mean, whatever.
That
in the
means
middle.
Yes.
Yeah, right. That does mean yes.
Yeah, that means yes.
Yeah.
Whatever, you're like, I don't know.
I mean, that means yes, and he went after all of us going, I was such a loser.
The best thing that was going for me is that I had 5 sisters, and 4 of them were older than me.
Mm-hmm.
So when I showed up, some of the older girls, you know, and they would never give those little pipsqueaks, you know, freshman boys, any time, but they all knew me as, you know, Aaron Kelly's little brother, so I'd get that.
That's nice.
And that was helpful. That was one of the benefits of
give
being
you cred.
From and all. Yeah, they give you, you know.
Mm-hmm. When, did you say your hair turned gray, like, in college?
High school. I started high getting school. The white in high school, you know, like little streaks. I'll have to bring in my yearbook. We should all do that.
Oh, yeah. I'm all bringing
our That's a good idea.
Yeah.
It's a great
That's
idea.
And but I've got streaks in my
Did it bother you?
No, because my parents had it. I didn't know any better. And then it was like, you're going to either start to dye it and fight it the rest of your life or embrace it. And my parents are both, you know, white as cotton. And they looked at me and they're like, look, don't, you know, you
don't fight
do whatever
it.
You want. But
yeah.
And I know people in my life, maybe even related to a couple that are continuing to fight it. And they're like, I just wish I would have let it go.
Yeah. Mm. I was the same way with losing my hair.
Yeah.
So I didn't really get much hair until 2nd, 3rd grade, started losing it in about 6, though 5th grade was pretty much my peak.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I started losing it in high school.
Did it go here?
Yeah. Yeah,
like
I got like the
peak?
Little horseshoes.
That was a great image for the radio there.
Where did it start going first for you in the back?
On the top, buddy. And I did the comb over there for about 18 months.
Yeah.
And
oh, I fought it hard.
Yeah, did you?
Oh my goodness!
I finally just gave up and do the shave
but
now.
You did something. You said this on the air today. John used to have a mustache.
Oh, I've seen
did
the pictures.
Are you kidding me? I might need to see that.
And marriage with his wife with a mustache. Went on his honeymoon, the first day on his honeymoon, shaved his mustache off, has never had one since.
That's right.
It's kind of false advertising, right?
You do, hello? You just decided to.
I just decided to do it.
Now you're a good-looking guy now. You were a very handsome young man.
Well, I don't like to talk. You know, it was all right. It was all right.
But I mean, you didn't consult your wife either, right? Like, she only
remember.
Knew you as a mustache.
Well, they're married by that time.
Yeah. And
what's she going to do?
Done deal.
And yep. Back then, she still liked me. And so, so I could get away with stuff.
When did that start to wane?
You know, Thursday, I think.
No. 253 DG as we're talking about John Hancock's honeymoon. Can you tell your wedding night story in 4 minutes?
Well, I married the only daughter of Greek parents, so this was a big deal. It was a Greek wedding, and it was beautiful. I mean, it was lovely. And so we have this ceremony. I hadn't eaten all day because I was nervous. Never gotten married before, you know. So we get through the ceremony, and then the pictures, and then we get to the reception. Beautiful. Band playing over there. Come walk in the room, and it's all about us. You know, we're waving to the people there. We sit down, and my brother gives a toast, and the minister prays, and I'm starving. And I'm waiting, and finally, here comes the chicken. And the chicken comes out, and it is fancy chicken. It's got little river of cheese running through it. It's got the ham in there. The chicken. I was eating that chicken, buddy, and I was eating, and I ate all the. I ate some of George Ann's chicken, and then of course you cut the cake, you do the da da da, and the garter, and the royal flowers, and the Greek dance. We're dancing around, you know, and finally it's 11:30. Everybody leaves, and we go out. We take a carriage ride through downtown. Wouldn't do that now. But we did. And we took a carriage ride through downtown, and we come back, and we're in the honeymoon suite there at the Adams Mark Hotel. And we go up, and I said, you know, sweetheart, let's open these cards and see how much money is in here. That's Mike.
That this sounds one. Right.
Yeah. So we go through wasn't that nice of Aunt Tossie? So we go through the cards, and then Jo-Jan goes into the bathroom. And she comes out, and what may be the sexiest dress I've ever seen. I mean, not dress. It was
like a nightgown.
It was incredible. Yeah. Is all I'm telling you. And
let's move over a little bit.
She she slides, you know, into the bed there, and I slide in next to her, and I put my hand under her head, and I kiss her, and then I said, you know, I don't feel so good. And for the next 2.5 hours, at about every 4 to 6 minutes, I was all exits were open, and I got food poisoning.
Another river of chicken.
It was not good. The salmonella, I believe they call that. And so by the morning, I had no liquid in my body. I couldn't talk, and I said, I think I'm going to die. So she said, do you want to go to the hospital? And I said, yes. So she calls down, this is Mrs. Hancock in the honeymoon suite. Could you send a wheelchair up for my husband? And they did. And so little 5 foot tall, she gets me in the wheelchair, and I'm all, you know, like this. So, 2 bags of juice later, and I'm puffed back up, and man, that was a rough night.
Hog Hollow time.
That was a rough night, but that's what happened.